Bring us in, dude.
One. All right. Welcome back. No, let me start that over. What are you laughing at? Okay. You know, that's fine. So now I need to hit it out of the park. Watch this. Welcome back to the Black and Blue Podcast. I'm your host with my joyful co-host.
Kyle Morgan. Who are you? Are you Devin Richardson?
I'm age before beauty. I'm not Devin Richardson.
Chris Kingsley.
I'm Chris Kingsley, aka King Pigs Media.
That's so funny. What it reminds me of.
I thought I was prepared.
Why don't you come on in, neighbor?
Oh,
come join
Mr. Rogers.
Us in this. Yeah. This magical carpet ride we're about to go on. You see our new carpets here?
We do have magic carpets in here.
But before we talk about those, click that subscribe button. And if you don't want to, move on. That's fine too.
Please subscribe.
Please subscribe though. And like, if you could, maybe comment and join us on Patreon or Spotify or all the things. Half of our bonus episodes, all of our bonus episodes are there. But we'd like to thank our sponsors.
We would like to thank our sponsors.
Yeah. Roka, performance eyewear.
So it's funny. For a long time, I had been getting glasses from another company. Like, I wasn't sponsored. I just knew some of the guys there. They were always sending me stuff. And I started rocking these after you gave them to me. I got to be honest, dude. I love these. I love them. Like, if I can't find them.
He gets paid to say that.
Well, if I can't find them before a run or before a road trip, I'm like tearing the house up. Like, I need those.
Dude, they sit. They sit. Like, those specifically, the Barton frames. Mm-hmm. They sit, you know, because they kind of look similar to other brands that we won't mention.
Yeah.
But the way that the material they're made out of, mm-hmm. like the texture of it, they're very light on your face.
Yeah.
And they don't move.
Well, like, I like even wearing them like with a hat or with ear pro. Yeah. They're fine. Yep. And most recently, I had some
make work. Sure you tag Roka in all those videos.
I will.
Good.
I had some work done on my car, and generally when I drop my car off at the shop,
look at Starship.
He's vibing over there.
He's vibing his road.
Generally, when I drop my car off at the shop, my wife will give me a ride back to the house. But sometimes it's only 4 miles from the house. So sometimes I'll just go for a jog and jog back to the house, or I'll just walk. And these last few times, I've been loading up the old e-bike in the Subaru and riding the e-bike back home. And so I got this like motorcycle helmet. Yeah, I got this motorcycle helmet and I put it on. It's kind of snug. And I put those on with it. And I was like just rolling 25 miles an hour on the e-bike, you know, right back to the house.
Did you get your e-bike from GovX.com?
I did get it from GovX.
Really? Yeah.
And I got the helmet from GovX.
Nice.
And also, I'm about to drop a YouTube video. I got some running shoes. Like,
what's the MSRP on an e-bike like that?
Something like that's right around $3,000.
Is it?
Yeah.
Worth it?
I think it's worth it, especially in Virginia. So if you get a class 2 pedal assist bike, it's an e-bike, but it's considered a bicycle by legal standards.
Because you can pedal, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like on trails and national parks and stuff like that, you can take it. Yeah. Now you will get some pushback, but you have to show them on the bike
just
where it
burn and pass
class 2.
Right. Other mm-hmm. traditional riders.
Oh, yeah. People will call and be like, he's got a motorcycle out here.
Yeah. He's doing all these weeks.
But I did get some running shoes. I know you're a shoe guy. I've gathered some intel.
I have
on
a
you.
Lot of shoes.
Yeah. I did get a pair of like the Hyper Trainer running shoes to prep for the 10 miler. And
when is that?
October.
Is it the Army? October? The Army?
Mm-hmm. The one in DC. Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool run, man. I've ran all over DC before.
Dude, you got to get you some. If you have knee, hip, or ankle issues, I think they're Brooks.
Yeah.
Brooks I bought those.
My jam.
And they make a difference. My ankles, I have no ankle. I do have some knee pain, but.
Which ones are they? Sorry.
Hyper something. Yeah. I don't know. They look kind of fruity. But
I tried one of their new, the Cascadia, yeah, the newer Cascadia. Mm-hmm.
I've seen
like
those.
Their trail running one, the mm-hmm. Brooks. And man, they just keep making them better.
Yeah.
Better. I despise running on the road, man. But a good Brooks trail.
Yeah.
Shoe, I think is you can still run a little bit on the road too, mm-hmm. and it, you know, it's not bad, but
yeah.
Those are my favorite running shoes for sure. Yeah.
Well, I run mostly
Speaking
on the road.
Of shoes though, I have been, you know, I've had these OnClouds or a version of those, like mm-hmm. These are the waterproof sixes.
Yeah.
And I was like, REI, they had, you know how they had the garage sales mm-hmm. or whatever?
Yeah, like the open box.
These were like half off.
Really?
Like from MSRP, brand, like pretty much brand new, it looked like.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, let me just buy them, because I had a pair someone bought me for my birthday of just the, you know, the trainer, mm-hmm. the OnCloud Sixes. It was basically the same look.
Yeah.
But they're not the waterproof. And I didn't think that the waterproof would make that big of a difference. Mm-hmm. But I can't stand wearing the other ones because yeah. I feel like I'm walking barefoot. Mm-hmm. There's not enough support in them.
Yeah.
All my shoes I put Superfeet.
Oh, dude.
That'd be a great sponsor.
Superfeet. I've been running Superfeet for years. Yeah, I love Superfeet.
They make such a difference.
Yeah.
So even in like just walking around shoes or like my New Balances or my Nike Air Max 90s or whatever, mm-hmm. like I'll have Superfeet in all of,
yeah.
all of them, not just like trainers or hiking boots. I have mm-hmm. them in all my shoes.
I started using Superfeet when I started ruck training. So
yeah.
what I would do is every night after my shift, when I was on evening shift, I'd get off at 2 a.m. and I would try to do anywhere from 3 to 5 miles. And my buddy was like, dude, you have to invest in Superfeet for your boots. And I was like, whatever. They're a little expensive, but I'll get them. And I got them. I've never looked back since. They are so worth it.
Yeah. You do have to replace them though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Cause it over time, mm-hmm. it's like shoes, running yeah. shoes, especially like you have to replace them.
Yeah.
And I mean, it depends on how much use, but, what I was going to say about these is like the waterproof, whatever they've done to make them waterproof, the mm-hmm. Gore-Tex or whatever inside, just like shores it up a little more.
Yeah, it got so that there's structural so, integrity. Yeah,
so there's like left and right kind of mm-hmm. stability. And then I've learned to, with that, appreciate the, whatever they do with the cloud.
The sole.
The yeah. sole stuff. Like it is.
Are you flat footed?
These are, man, but I blew out my arches completely.
Yeah.
So like I'm flat footed. Yeah. Yeah. I have no arches. So, I need that support, man. Mm-hmm. Especially with the insole. Not enough for, I could probably get orthotics made and all that, but I just,
yeah.
I don't know. Well, the super feet have been really effective.
Takes a lot of time to get all that stuff. Another thing that I got was, I don't know if you noticed this old timepiece on my
Ooh.
Wrist.
Ooh.
The old Garmin Phoenix.
Is that like the 9 or 10? What is that one?
8.
Is an 8?
Mm-hmm. And you can actually enter your shoes into the Garmin app, so it'll tell you, like it'll track the miles that you get on your shoes.
Oh, wow.
And it'll tell you when it's about time to look at replacing them. It also helps because my running coach, or my buddy Craig, tracks my runs. He's the one who sends
me. They can see in the
He
app.
Sent me the running program and he hit me up. He was like, hey, I can't see your runs in the app. And so like,
they look, you've been running all day. No, man, that's just,
that's, he's like, hey, great job on that 5 miler, but your stress level when you're sleeping is insane. And I'm like, brother, that's the baseline.
No, that's cool. Who is he?
So Craig is,
Craig.
Everybody know Craig.
Everybody know Craig.
Craig is one of my closest friends. We actually met through doing
one
content
of my
creation.
Favorite names, but.
Same. But, he actually just retired
Training Day.
Out of seventh group. And, he is getting into running, or he says
retired from seventh group, you said?
Well, he was there for the last part of his career. Sure. So like the last like year or so. And he finished it out there and he is getting into like running. Like I'm talking, he's buying the shorts. He influenced me to buy this little Patagonia runner's jacket, mm-hmm. which I'm like, dude, I'm not going to spend $110 on this little lightweight jacket. Come to find out, that's one of my favorite pieces of equipment. But he's investing all of this time into running. And then when I pull him up on the app, he's like doing miles. Mm-hmm. And he's getting ready for the 10 miler, but I think his overall goal is to get up to marathon prep. And so he sent me his running program and he literally like, I'd say every other day he's calling me like, all right, what'd you do today? What'd you eat today? And he's like on it. Nice. And so he's been that's his new thing since kind of transitioning out of the military into his civilian career.
Did you listen? That's awesome. Did you listen to Alpha Country, Spencer Lewis?
Not the whole thing.
Episode? Yeah. Definitely check that out if y'all haven't, but he's extremely motivational. Like his discipline is just through the roof, man.
Well, that 100-mile race that he did,
yeah,
like 100 miles.
But that's where it started for him. Is like he said it, man. He hates running.
Yeah,
but he's like, I can do a half mile. Mm-hmm. So he just started doing a half mile every day.
Yeah,
and then started building up and building up. And then he realized the peace that he would get from you know being out running.
Yeah,
and in the closeness stuff with God. But I bring that up because he's got an app now. Like mm-hmm. a training app.
Really?
So like macros and you know, obviously programming, because he does program for people too.
Yeah.
Supplements, right? So you can get everything all in the app. I'm gonna download it myself. It just released recently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've never tracked macros, even when
alphacountry.com.
Even when I was doing bodybuilding.
The alphacountry.com, sorry.
The Alpha Country?
I think so.
Like the, like T-H-E-E?
T-H-E-E. Just a long E.
I never tracked my macros. Even when I was doing bodybuilding, I kind of just went based off of like how I felt or how I looked. And even now, like I stood on the scale.
Man, let's see a photo of you bodybuilding, bud. Let's see it.
Let me send it to you. I have
one. Because no one's going to believe that.
Oh, you see?
I know it's real.
Yeah.
I know it's real. That's why I didn't bat an eye when you said it. But there's some people out there
I've sent it to people and they're like, yeah, that's AI. And of course it's a photo from, I think Facebook reminded me that it was 15 years ago.
You're like, no way, dude.
I'm going to airdrop it to Starship.
I don't know if you can see it with those glasses on, dude. He's locked in over there.
He is locked in. There it is.
Silence all devices.
But so even when I was doing bodybuilding,
dude, I missed you, bud. I missed you more. Yeah, it's like, just so good to have you back.
I'll
here.
Tell you, man. Yeah. Taking the road down here, it's like I know. I told you I've memorized the way. Once I know where I'm at, or once I know exactly.
Hold on, I got a phone call.
Oh wow,
just kidding.
Once I know exactly where I am, it's
dude,
like,
that's got to be in the 80s, bro.
No, it's more than 9 years ago. I saved the photo when it was at 9 years. But
how old are you there? King picks, man, just swole.
33, 34, 30, maybe somewhere between 32.
So 9 years ago.
Well, no, it wasn't 9 years ago. It was 9 years ago when I actually saved the photo, because that I couldn't get that off of the screenshot. But yeah, dude, I was in my 30s there, and I was.
Just yoked up.
I was the unhappiest I had ever been in my life.
Natty, right?
Natty. Well, natty. Mostly natty. So I did a cycle of SARMs. I did a quarter cycle. So if it said take, you know, whatever dosage, I would just cut it in fourths and then I would do that. But mostly natty. I extended
it. Did you take the SARMs that you got from Afghanistan and Iraq?
No. These were American SARMs.
Wasn't that a thing? There was something.
I think so. So SARMs is transformed into like peptides now.
Yeah.
But back then, you know, the big thing was, oh, they're not FDA regulated or they're not FDA approved. So you should really
watch
out.
There was one specifically that I remember the military guys was getting in trouble for.
Yeah. Well, the stuff that I got from, I don't think I can name the company, the business that I got them from, because.
Did it have equestrian on the back of it?
No.
Like horse
no. But the guy was an old powerlifter who had trained with some of the guys from Westside Barbell. And when he opened up his shop, he was like, hey, you know, there's a discount for, and they all knew at the gym that I was law enforcement. They were like, there's a discount for military and law enforcement. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to full send it. Well, not full send, but quarter send it. And I did it. And over time, my lifts were insane based off of where I started. And, I went from really not being a solid deadlifter to rack pulling like 600 pounds. And, but I would do that picture.
How much did you weigh?
In that picture, I think I was 205. But I was the unhappiest, like with my home life, with work life. I was not a nice person. I was just completely just self-absorbed, and every day was a bad day, yeah. But I looked good.
Yeah.
Well, you see. So it just, I think it was a learning experience, great, but it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it at all.
Yeah.
If I could go back and change it, I would. Yeah.
I was talking about that recently. Like there's a lot of things that I wish I didn't do,
mm-hmm.
But man, if I start telling myself I would go back and change something, yeah. I'm playing God. Dude.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's just. That's my own personal like journey, but it's like, there's a lot of things I wish I did differently,
mm-hmm.
But God.
Yeah.
You know? And all of the things, I'm not going to try to play God.
All of the things that we've done in the past are the things that led us to where we are now. So I look back at that and I'll never get back to that size. I'll never get back to that. You know, the way that I was training, I missed
that attitude.
Yeah. I sacrificed so much time with my family. Like it just, you know, there's a learning experience.
I don't want to go back.
I see what you mean. And so now I still do, I still work out. I still do, you know, deadlifts, squats, bench, pull-ups, but I do a lot more running now because I realize that there's probably a more functional benefit to being able to go outside and knock out 5 miles.
Yeah.
And just the long-term benefits of it.
I'd like to take a moment and talk about our sponsor, Unit Solutions. Most people who carry a firearm don't train nearly enough, man. I get it. Ammo's expensive. Time is limited. Dry fire gadgets can just be boring. Unit Solutions has engineered a new standard for at-home training with the Unit 9 Compact. The Unit 9 has been precisely manufactured with the same slide weight, trigger break, and realistic recoil as a live fire pistol. It fits your standard holsters, accepts all your standard kit, and is 100% safe to use in and around your home. Whether you're a civilian or a professional, the Unit 9 Compact replicates the fit, form, and function of your real firearm, providing honest feedback so every rep transfers. It doesn't ask you to lower your expectations when training. It asks you to meet them. It's available now on pre-order and on sale May 1st at unitsolutions.com. That's the thing with Spencer, mm-hmm. from Out of Country, is not only is he doing 100 milers, like he is a physical beast,
yeah.
like strength-wise. Mm-hmm. So I believe from someone that I know personally, he is the most like in shape person, mm-hmm. for what I think is in shape.
Yeah. Functional fitness.
Functionally. Like functional strength, endurance.
Overall. Yeah.
And like it's inspiring, man. We're gonna go do the when did Abby come do it too? We're gonna do
the triathlon.
The Murph.
Oh,
Murph. At a big gym.
Yeah.
Up in Raleigh. And it'll be on the 25th, I think. Before Memorial Day, mm-hmm. or the day of, I can't remember exactly, but there's a video that's going to get released that he's announcing it.
Yeah.
And the way he announces it is extremely like, that's why I'm going to go do it, because he's like, man, let's all endure a bit of the pain,
yeah.
you know, through an hour of doing this. Mm-hmm. This is not a race, not a competition. I don't care how quickly you do it.
Yeah, just come out.
I want us to all endure this together.
You know, I've
to share a little bit of that pain.
I've
just
never
a fraction
done
of pain.
A group Murph.
No, neither have I.
I've always like I've
done. I have.
I've done them like in my garage or like kind of like, you know, not really as unit PT, but like during a PT session, like, all right, go and do your own thing. Mm-hmm. But I've never done. I've been invited to a few like between Nashville and Texas, but I've never actually done one like with social media, not as the goal, but the kind of the social media realm where there's people that are taking video. There's a group of people of other podcasters and content creators. I've never done one like that. So I'd be interested.
I think it'd be cool, man.
Yeah.
Like not just from a media perspective, like mm-hmm. it's going to be cool. Just if we can capture it from a media perspective, I think it's gonna be awesome.
Right? Yeah.
To show, you know, a glimpse of like the camaraderie, the mm-hmm. community, the shared,
well, what it
the
means.
Shared suffering. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100 pull-ups with kid on is 100 pull-ups with kid yeah. on. It sucks. Like there's no like quick way to do that.
Take that first bite.
Yeah. But, I'll send you the info on it.
I think.
And I'm going to put it out. So on all the platforms.
I think it'll
too.
Be fun.
Yeah. It'll be in like North Raleigh, I think.
It'll be fun when it's done.
Yeah. Well, it'd be the experience though too. And I'm glad we're talking about this because Devin hit me up about if I wanted to do a try.
He told me about he was like, yeah, man, we got this Olympic distance
he's so
try.
Funny.
I was like, dude, if I was a swimmer, I'd be down to clown.
He's only half black. So he's a pretty good swimmer.
old swimming, half swimming Dev.
Yeah.
But yeah, he told me about it and I was like,
non-diving Devin.
I got my sights set on the Army 10 miler.
Yeah.
I think that's a good target for the year.
And that's October too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is in September.
Yeah.
Or September, October. It's north of Raleigh too.
I did ask him if y'all are doing, if that's road biking.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. So it's open water, mm-hmm. lake, swim, 1500 yeah. meters. Oof. Now the only way I'm going to do the Olympic distance for that, because mm-hmm. it's a sprint or international, which is the Olympic distance.
Yeah,
the sprint is 750 meters mm-hmm. in the water, 20 miles on the bike, and I think 3.2 or 3.5 miles, 5K basically.
Yeah,
run. That's a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I'm going to do, because that's enough time. The international is 1500
oof
in the water. Jeez. Which is a grind. 25 on the bike, and then I think it's 6 miles.
Yeah.
Or eight.
That'll take a lot out of you.
The only way I'm going to be able to do that is if we do a sprint before, like sometime between now and
do like a workup.
Yeah. I have to have like, I need to, cause that's a whole nother, the transitions, like transitioning from the bike to the run.
Mm-hmm.
Your legs are just like bricks.
I also, so my bike, I have a trail bike and I've had it. I got it for Christmas in, I think it was 2002, and it's a Trek 3400. I've maintained it over the years, but
you get that from GovX.
No, I got that. I don't know if that was from around. Mom. Was that around Christmas? Back
then? You said 2000 what?
2001 or 2002. It was junior year.
So. Well, I guess I've had my. I have a Rode R5 Cannondale and a bike trail a mountain bike. Same, it's the same model.
Yeah.
Just the mountain bike version. I've had those since 2006, 2007.
I've always wanted.
They're still great.
My dad has a few different road bikes. My dad was really big into biking in the 90s. And he's got a few different road bikes, and I've just never owned one. And I've been kind of looking at them, but.
There's probably plenty of places to safely ride where you live.
No. The hills.
Oh.
I'll go for a run.
You see around here.
Yeah.
Like it's dangerous, man. Yeah.
There's no shoulder.
No shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm worried. So I've been riding my mountain bike a little bit on the road and a little bit off.
I
get off the road with it without being a catastrophe.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of long, you know, stretches of run out through here, but it's just like the shoulders aren't.
Yeah. There's one trail, there's two trails, but there's one that's pretty flat. It's an old railroad bed trail. Mm-hmm. And I'll go out there and that trail from, it spans between the main roads. The one span is like 3 miles. So that's like the perfect distance to be able to, you know, if I do that, if I go down and back, that's a 6 mile ride. So it's not bad. The only problem is that into the spring. So starting out pretty much late fall into the spring, nobody's really out there. So it kind of gets overgrown. There's a lot of wildlife. And then the spiders, like in the fall, from fall to spring, it's like, there's like spiders that span across the trail.
Yeah,
so it's like you're just eating spiders when you're running down. So
there's some pretty nice trails, mountain bike trails, like right outside of Fort Bragg.
Really?
Like there's tons of places to ride, you know, on the fire breaks and stuff, but it's also trespassing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
depending on where you're at. Actually, I don't even know if that would be considered because they, either way, but the Xterra trails that are by Smith Lake. So it's just right down the road.
Yeah.
There's like an RV camp there and their trail system is pretty decent.
Yeah.
For mountain biking too.
I tell you another thing.
And there's a really nice one at Sanford.
Yeah.
Like super technical.
Another thing that we have in our area, there's two lakes.
It is cold in here.
It's a little chilly in here. See, I told you. Mm-hmm. There's two lakes. Actually, my middle kid was just at the lake with her friends. These lakes they're a good size. The big lake, they drained it and then they refilled it. And I've been out there hundreds of times and I've never gone swimming in it. And now it's like, I need to go for a swim, need to go ahead and dip my toes in there, try to do a lap or two, see what I got going on. Those sunglasses are killing me, Starship. Mm-hmm. It's like, he's not even
over here giving me hand and arm signals, man. He's like,
yeah.
Hey, can you turn my headphones up?
Turn my headphones up.
Continue. You do jujitsu?
I do. Dude, that's another thing is that jujitsu is it's a gut check every time, man.
Did you do some jujitsu
with Jocko?
With Jocko?
No. No.
Why not?
He's honestly I think he's the kind of person who he'll match energy. So it's good, and you probably know this, but training jujitsu, you want someone who matches. Because you don't want someone who's all amped up and then someone who's not. And then you don't want the disparity between the skill levels can sometimes be a hiccup because you have someone who knows 100 ways to fold you into a paper airplane and then someone who's like, oh, I got to level up because this is a brown belt or this is a black belt. Mm-hmm. My thing is that I just constantly want to learn because I took what I learned from doing like the law enforcement combative stuff and I found two or three moves that I can find anywhere. But I want to learn how to increase my knowledge, but how to apply that from how to get a Kimura when, you know, I'm passing someone's guard. So I've trained with guys that are way bigger and stronger. And the common thing is that, man, they're like, you're actually stronger than I thought. You're just not good at this. And so it's like, okay, they kind of give you that compliment sandwich. But you know, I want to learn the techniques. And so one of the last guys I went against, he's a professor out in Nashville. Dude's like 6'5", you know, 280. He's just a big dude, but he is so knowledgeable that he's going to let you work and see where, yeah, you know, see what you're looking for. And I mean, we went probably two or three different 5 minute rounds, like with breaks and other partners in between. And I learned so much from literally this guy just like not budging. He's like, hey, that's not going to work. You got to find another way there. And so of course, talking to Jocko about jiu-jitsu, he's like, his eyes light up. And same thing with Echo Charles. Like, that's his whole thing. That's their thing. It's jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey guys, listen, I didn't bring a gi or no gi clothing. So I'm not going to do any of that. Also, I got a flight to catch this evening, so we didn't get into that, but he gave me a tour around the gym, and he does it the right way. Mm-hmm. He really does, from teaching kids to teaching, you know, people who have zero knowledge and zero time actually putting hands on, to people who are operating at a professional level. So
that was a really long way of saying you didn't want him to just crush you.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Kyle Morgan. Do you want someone to crush you in jiu-jitsu right now? The honest answer is no.
If I learn something from it,
we can. Well, okay.
I'm not afraid to go against anybody.
Neither am I.
Because I know that I don't. I'm like a freaking a bull in a china shop, man. And I'll just put myself in really bad situations.
Okay, that's
and
how I like I would learning describe, those lessons. That's how I would describe
with the
myself.
Right person, though, because I agree with what you're saying. Like, the right people,
yeah,
and it's typically the black belts are gonna, or you know,
they know
some of the other
doing.
Belts. They also know,
but I know myself, and I know what a workout it is, and I know how much, because I can't just start and half do it. And I know
like your toes
in that setting,
everything has to
when
be
I'm
trained.
In San Diego and there's delicious tacos right up the street. I know my bandwidth.
Kingpix, I am listening.
My bandwidth.
Don't tell me to listen again.
Yeah,
we're going to roll right here on this new carpet.
Listen, I'm not going to roll.
This rug.
I'm not going to roll. This is a nice rug.
So speaking of the new studio, what you think?
I like it. I think it looks amazing. I think
Starship
has he's got quite the challenge ahead of him with the acoustics in here. But we've already discussed several acoustic solutions group.
Speaking of that, one of our other sponsors, Unit Solutions. I forgot to mention them.
Unit Solutions.
But the solution.
The solution to the
acoustic solution.
I think that, you know, the hardwood floors and the higher ceilings, they open it up to have more space to move around. But at the same time, that acoustic solution, for someone who is so in tune with video, audio, and everything else, it can be a little hurdle.
Yeah.
But I do like this. I mean,
you're talking about Starship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not us. Look at us.
I'm like, cool, man. Well, it's funny. They were like trying to help hang up because there's these skylights too. Mm-hmm. That, as you can tell, I just use some cardboard backers.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Ipsic on the bottom. Do my dry fire right there. Just covering the holes. It's beautiful. Beautiful. But we'll get it all. We'll get all of this dialed in. Hopefully this comes out, you know, I know he'll work his magic anyways, mm-hmm. but we're just going to keep making it better. Foxhole Improvement, man.
There you go.
Like Shoot House, man. Just
find what works.
Foxhole Improvement.
Yeah.
Always ongoing.
No, I like it though. I do.
I feel better. Like as bad as I feel because of the allergies right now, mm-hmm. pollen. For one, there's a couple of things. New space.
Yeah.
New me, mm-hmm. you know?
New year,
feel
new
stretched
me.
Out a little bit. Let my hair down.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh. But, and you're here too.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, that pollen, you know, it's going to move to an area of lesser concentration in any room that it's in. So I think being higher up kind of create some distance between us and the pollen. But I was going to, when you text about the pollen, because I made sure.
Are you talking about in the house?
Yeah.
We're on the third floor, dude. I'm upstairs. Dude, that's one of my favorite Theo Von skits.
I made sure that I took my allergy medicine this morning because I knew from being in South Carolina last week that the second I come down here, it can be bad. And so I took my allergy meds. And then sure enough, when you text in the group chat about being in a bad mood, I was
I was just letting you guys know, man, like, I don't want you to walk in and I'm like,
No, cheer up. Just bro, like, whenever you're sad.
But then I got all those messages of encouragement. Like, let me look at these real quick. I wasn't having them then at the moment. I was like,
Yeah. Grumpy old man. I was going to tell you.
What's this dude walking with the RPG?
Oh, Starship will tell you about that.
Doom and gloom.
We'll talk about that off camera.
Okay.
That's a Windows up conversation.
So the first thing is Starship sends the hard enough. Hey, Kyle, your name's Kyle. He likes Starship Frappuccinos. He needs to harden up. And then you go, bro, just cheer up. And I sent that.
That's the best advice I could think of in the moment.
It was good.
Whenever someone's in a bad mood, just tell them to cheer up.
But then you said, don't allow the pollen count to molest your bandwidth.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I feel better now.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm starting to feel a little better.
There you go. That's from your tutelage.
It is. Yeah. Without context, it's like, oh, what are we talking about?
What?
Yeah, so come train with us in a course.
And I was going to tell you, though. I was going to put in the chat, and I decided against it because I make good decisions. I was going to say, listen.
Good.
If I can get up at 4:30 in the morning, take my allergy medicine and get on the road to be here on time, you can cheer up from a little bit of pollen.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever.
Eric
goes, think positive.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, then I realized that I dropped the don't allow the pollen count to molest your bandwidth comment in the chat that has Erica in it. And I was like.
She knows. She's just saying it.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think she likes it, but
yeah.
Without context, once again.
Well, I told you it came to my mind in a conversation that I had with my wife, and I was like, I'm not gonna say it.
Don't say
and
it.
And I didn't say
but
it.
But you said it to my what?
I said it in the chat.
No, but I want to get to this. This is funny because she's like, great topic. How pollen is so bad, makes you feel like crap and in a bad mood. I'm like, that's not a great topic, Erica.
Hot take.
Hot take.
Pollen is bad.
Pollen makes you feel bad and in a bad mood.
Black and Blue podcast brought to you by Big Pollen.
Dude, when your car is yellow or green, call us. The Big Pollen Removers. She goes, but you're like Chuck Norris and the pollen fears you.
There you go.
And I was like, all right, cool. Rest in peace, Chuck.
RIP. Gosh, he was around the last time we shot together.
Yeah. Was it during?
No, that was right when he, because it was like the second day of the thing that we're not going to talk about in this episode. It was our second day together.
The training course?
Yeah. We can't talk about
it. Whatever.
I got the memo.
I do what I want.
Oh, okay. So there I was in training. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was the second day and I saw, actually my wife texted me and I saw the news article.
That's right.
I was talking to Ethan. Ethan Bradshaw. Yep. And I was like, hey, bro.
Saw him yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He's probably, listen.
In uniform. He was in his.
Was he really?
His dress, his class A's were.
All of your instructors are my favorite people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Who's your favorite?
My absolute favorite? Like 100%?
Yeah.
It's Kyle Morgan.
Yeah. Yes. Eat it, Devin. He came with me yesterday.
Hey, Devin, too. My bad. Do this. There you go. You're just cheering up. Just one joke at a time.
Let's get serious.
Yeah. Hey, good.
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 No, I saw Bradshaw yesterday and Devin actually went with me. My oldest daughter she wanted to go, but I was asked to speak at Wake Forest University. Mm-hmm. A small class. Yeah. They do small classes, I think, anyways, mm-hmm. class size. So just 16 students. The professor, he's a PhD level counselor, mental health, professional. And he had reached out, months and months ago on the website to see if it was something I could do. And yeah, that happens periodically where, you know, schools or companies will ask us to, ask me to come in and speak or, mm-hmm. On certain topics, but, it just depends on scheduling and whether yeah. we can do it. And I wanted, this was 2 hours away. So I wanted to make this one happen. And I'm really glad I did because, I mean, besides the pollen, because it started there. Their campus is beautiful,
yeah.
by the way.
I've never been.
It's a really cool campus. Not a huge campus, mm-hmm. but there was just, it was cool to see all the kids just
yeah.
doing their thing, man.
The little babies running around.
Yeah, just not paying attention to anything, man. Just like.
On their phones.
Just yeah. get, they got somewhere to be, but they're just.
Yeah, on their hoverboards.
No, there wasn't a lot of like staring at your phones, which was cool, but. I don't know the layout of it and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna post a little reel about it later, but it was a class that it's a part. It's like a, what is it considered? It's not an elective. It's not a part of their career, their degree curriculum. Plan.
Yeah.
Well, it is in the sense that they're required to take one seminar or one, what is that called? Yeah. So it's a full semester. But this was at the end of their semester mm-hmm. and it's focused on military service members and,
oh, wow.
and experiences from the Revolutionary War mm-hmm. all the way till, you know, more recently. So they basically, they've been breaking down and reading and then studying. And then I think, you know, doing, their own, their own research on anything they can find on written correspondence from mm-hmm. all the different eras,
yeah.
conflicts, to kind of find some sort of common thread or whatever, but just really to increase their awareness
yeah.
about what it's not trying to prove something right or wrong, like the conflict, you know,
but
so
it
it's not a political science class or military
kind of surrounds them in the military realm.
Yeah.
And awareness. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then there's a few kids that, cause I asked this right away. I said, you know, who has some sort of like military lineage or, mm-hmm. you know, close to home as far as service members. And there was probably two or three.
Yeah.
You know, some of them had as close to their father and sister. Mm-hmm. So they grew up in it.
Yeah.
And some are, you know, their grandfather served and so on. And then some like just, I don't know, you know,
just completely just
there, dude.
Freestyling.
Just happy to be there. Just
bebopping through life.
And all I talked about was like why I chose to serve, mm-hmm. you know, that time frame. And I asked the question, I was like, how many of y'all were born after 9/11?
All of them?
All of them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But I guess that's what, 25. So this was a freshman class too.
Yeah.
So this was, or I don't know, freshman, sophomore class.
We're so old.
But, I bring that up because, well, for one, the pollen, because yeah. it's beautiful, but like there's just trees everywhere mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful landscape. But at the end of it, you know, because I'm always trying to gauge like that kid's falling asleep. Roger that.
Yeah.
And, but it's 9 a.m. on a, and the professor was like, yeah, it's a big ask. 9 a.m. classroom.
Yeah.
For the students. It's funny.
College kids. Yeah. But, I picked my oldest up. So she did her first solo trip. She went down with some of our friends from the homeschool co-op. She went down to Florida mm-hmm. and I picked her up from the airport. She was down there for 4 days, but I picked her up last night. And while we were driving back, you could see the wind blowing the pollen like through your headlight beam.
Oh, wow.
And it was just, I was like, oh my gosh, man, I'm going to be hurting. Mm. And so, of course, she started sneezing because she's got allergies just like me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
I didn't get allergies until later in life.
Dude, I was...
like, I was an adult.
I was like 27 yeah. when it got really bad. And so I made a note to like, hey, there's a list of things that I need to do tomorrow, this morning. And the number one thing is take my allergy medicine.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'd be down here. There'd be snot all over this mic. It'd be pretty gross. And if that's too graphic for you, I apologize. It's who I am.
No, just let it fly.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience. We did a whole tour after that. And then mm-hmm. we had lunch with the professor and then the head of veteran legal clinic, mm-hmm. Which is a really cool resource for us too, like to be able to, you know, help other guys that, with several things, VA claims with, mm-hmm. they basically have the students work on
Yeah.
But like if you wanted to adjust a claim or say you had a less than honorable discharge or something, you know, there that's the mental health side connects to it. And there was just a lot of connection points that I was really glad that we did it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But the most important thing that happened was at the end of me talking with the kids was one of them came up to me and you know, shook my hand, really firm handshake, and looked me dead in the eyes. I was like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
And thanking me and thanking me for what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And then he shared something with me that his professor didn't even know.
Yeah.
And that he was actively involved in as a victim in the Florida State active shooter.
Really?
Yeah. And he was really emotional, as I would you know, understand, but he felt safe enough to share that with me, and it was powerful, man.
Yeah.
I asked him a few things about it, and you know, just getting him talking about it a little more, and because like I said, his professor didn't even know that about him, but then I felt in that moment, I asked him if I could pray with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my arm around him.
Yeah.
And prayed over him.
How was it?
And I looked up at him. Yeah.
Was he?
I looked up at him. He had a tear coming down his cheek, man. Yeah. He just was so thankful. And then the other three people that came up after him were just like, thank you so much for bringing God into
That's good that they're appreciative.
Yeah. I was just like, no, man, that's why I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know, but that was why I was there, was to, It helped remind me of what I'm doing, why it's so important. And maybe that helped him in some way too.
Exactly.
Like, and that's what I prayed for. I prayed for whatever it is that is maybe that he's not letting go of or working through, you know, to help him work through that.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. And to give him the that horrible tragedy to become a strength in everything that he does.
Yeah.
To be a better man, to be there a better protector.
There was something you said in our class, I think it might have been when we closed out and you prayed. And I like how you introduce prayer. Like, hey guys, if you're not religious and you want to take a minute or if
you're respectful.
You're very, very, you're not pushy with it, but there was a phrase that you used was remain curious.
Yeah. Be where your feet are.
That stuck with me. Like even when I went on Jocko, when I did my closing remarks, that was one of the things, because a lot of those guys aren't religious or they don't, you know, profess Christ or anything like that. Not openly. And, you know, you kind of get a gauge of where someone stands, but you never really know. And so that was one of the things that I mentioned was just remain curious. And interactions like what you had, like the kid, he didn't have to open up to you,
no.
But that might have been part of his curiosity that was piqued in that once you prayed with him, like, wait a second, if this is someone who I'm thanking for what they're doing, and they're doing, this is a part of how they, you know, interact with people. Maybe this is something I should follow up with. So that expands your ministry. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to it. And like, I've been getting messages.
It's a great commission, man, to go and make disciples across all nations. Like, so people that aren't public with their faith, they're not a bad Christian. I don't believe there's a bad or a good Christian. You either a Christian or not.
Exactly.
Now, there is higher levels and callings, like higher. There's levels to it, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not trying to earn a badge, but it's absolutely what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Is to go and make disciples across all nations. And
there have been so many people reaching
using
out
the gifts that God gives.
And that's exactly what they say.
Unique gifts.
We see, like, we listen to how you speak. We see the things you're talking about and how you've overcome, you know, difficulties. And people are, I don't want to say they're inspired, but I get those thank you messages, like, thank you for sharing. Like, you didn't have to share your story. And obviously it's something, it's your lived experience. So it's something that's near and dear to you, but people will thank you outright for doing that. And the relief that comes with that, because it's so easy to be like, you know what? I'm not going to open up. But like I said, we talked about,
you know, what
crying.
Helps me get through that.
What
is like that feeling? Cause I know exactly what feeling you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What helps me get through that, get over myself is I need it.
Yeah.
I need it.
Yep.
And if you're giving me an opportunity to speak to something,
open up.
I need something to, in order for me to deliver what it is that you are expecting for me to be able to do for you in any setting, whereas public speaking, any encounter.
Yeah.
I need this.
Yeah.
So, and I try to tell people when I'm doing this, like, hey man, I need this
therapy.
And I'd like for y'all to join me in this, because mm-hmm. what we do is inherently dangerous, and I'm going to ask for safety and protection and clarity in how we communicate with you. And
yeah.
I need this. And, yep. you know, I just ask you to remain curious, you know, be where your feet are.
Well, you know, the flip side of that is that there are people who get addicted to the feeling of being the center of attention.
Yeah.
And there are people who get the rush of, like, I'll tell you, like,
that's the difference between like professing
yeah.
and possessing.
And a lot of people want to see their name in lights. Mm-hmm. And I've had,
that's that Anthony, pastor, Anthony Mitchell.
What church is that?
Atlanta. He's in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
It's like 515.
Oh, like ministry. 14, I've seen him 1419.
Yeah, dude. He's one of my favorite
yeah.
pastors online to, like, man, he fires me
yeah.
up. But the way he delivers everything, he did something about the light, the spotlight.
Yeah.
There's a clip that you can watch, or the sermon. But he just had the whole stage blacked out, and then the spotlight came on as he's talking, and, mm-hmm. and just the way he describes that is
yeah. He's one of those ones. He's a Bible preaching pastor, and there's mm-hmm. a him, and then
yeah, he straight reads the word, man.
I think it was Josh Howerton out of Lake Point in Texas.
Yep.
That dude does not shy away from politics, from, you know, current like events or anything like that. He's a Bible preaching pastor, and it's really cool to listen to, because there's a lot of pastors that they kind of fall into their politics, and, you know, to have someone that's preaching the word. Philip Anthony yeah. Mitchell. What's the name of the church?
It is, I think you're
1419.
Yeah. So 2819.
I knew there's a 19 church in there somewhere.
I'd love to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. He, my man's working.
Yeah.
He's always sweating, dude. Just preaching, man. And
yeah.
I love that, because sure, he'll talk about his own personal experiences and mm-hmm. stuff, but man, he always connects it to the word.
Apparently he's ruffled some feathers in Hollywood, though. I think, I don't know if it was Jamie Foxx.
Is that the T? We're getting some tea here?
Somebody that spoke out against him, or somebody said something to where it drew some attention to him. And I don't think that he's said anything that is his own understanding. He's leaning not to his own understanding. And he said something that was in alignment with the word of God, and someone in Hollywood like called him out or said that he was a bigot or something. I mean, that's always kind of the thing
with yeah.
professing Christ is.
Well, I mean, he openly talked about, if you listen to his story,
mm-hmm.
it's powerful. You know,
yeah. He's from New York, right?
He's
kind of got that New York.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's kind of got that swag to him.
He, you know, he was a gangbanger, man. And just living a lost, wayward life, you know,
yeah.
and even, you know, dealing with his own suicidal ideation and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think it's so powerful, man.
Yeah.
And that's the part that, like, in the past for me, like, when someone's like, oh, you ever thought about becoming this or that, mm-hmm. politics or, you know, pastoral kind of thing. And in the past, I was like, no, man. There's no way. I got way too many demons in my closet. I don't, though. Like, I did.
Yeah.
But I've given those to God. God's worked
paid
through.
It all.
Yeah. So I've been washed, you know. And I'm like, man, those stories, though, that I connect with when I hear mm-hmm. that from someone that's in his position that God's called him into. It's super powerful. Not that it's not, you know, it's not required, but I think it's. Some people speak to other people in different ways, mm-hmm. connect in different ways based on shared experiences.
It's shared experience, but it makes you more relatable.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to see, like, so like you see Kyle Morgan that you see on Instagram, and you see all the, you know, all the accolades, but you don't have a conversation with the person, you automatically cast that shadow of the accolades onto the person. When it's like, you really, if you have a 2-minute conversation, you'll see like, those are great things. Those are great experiences, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
You know, you are greater than your service.
That's another reminder for me too, is like, I'm not that present on mm-hmm. social media.
Yeah.
Like Patreon and some of these other community chats that we have,
mm-hmm.
I'm way more present, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's also, something I feel I should be doing more of, mm-hmm. because of what you just said. Like, I post a lot of like fun things and like CQB or shooting stuff, and it's not necessarily to show off. It's just like get people excited about what we're doing, and but I don't go on there and just talk.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I do when I stream every night.
Yeah,
and what I've found is that I have this network of people. And
your network is your net worth.
I mean, it is.
Hey-o. Are you okay?
The people in my group. So like,
I'm upstairs. Sorry. that was a perfect time for that.
They know that there's certain things like, you know, I don't cuss. There's certain things, and you know that, you know, it's a clean environment as far as how I approach it. Cause I don't want to put on the wrong, I don't want to put out a negative message. And so I've noticed that through that, it's kind of spread to where if someone cusses in the chat, they immediately will chat and be like, oh, sorry. And it people see how I live, and they see, you know, I'm not always the internet comedian. Sometimes, hey, I get on here and I'll tell stories about, you know, this is what I did today with my daughter, or this is what I did today with my wife, or this today I had to cut grass. And so I'm kind of opening the door to who I am outside of just posting satire content. And but that's been
an evolution, evolutionary thing. Like it's changed. And to be honest, like that's something that's changed probably within the past year.
Yeah.
Changing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, if I'm wrong.
No, it's been, we're right at about a year. Now I did stream before that, like before.
What
I really
started that? The call to do.
I don't know. I think that I started to get like, you get these comments of like, who does this guy think he is? And people would kind of make up their own ideas of who I was based off the content I was posting. And the content I was posting, it's so far from who I am now, as far as like, it's satire. That's who I used to be when I thought I was God's gift to, you know, whatever I was doing at the time. And so now being able to open up, and I started this thing where I will misread words on purpose because that drives engagement. Or I'll say something wrong, but it shows that instead of me being like, you know, this know-it-all high and mighty guy who just talks down to people like some people do on social media, it shows like this is a real dude, and his priorities are God, his family, and his job, or, you know, the things that he loves. And, you know, it makes me more approachable, because before I started, if people would see me in public, they wouldn't approach me. Whereas now when people see these clips of me, you know, playing games or like talking to the chat, it's made me more approachable.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on the flight out to San Diego, and there was a guy on the plane that recognized me, which it's weird to be recognized in the airport, but the fact that this person is on the plane, we're going to the same place, mm-hmm. and he recognized me. It was like, wow. Like, and he came up and we took a picture right there on the airplane.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. I think that opening up and now, you know, with the podcast.
I wish I was there so I could be like, hey, this guy's famous, man. I'm gonna just spread, get people excited like all the way through the plane.
That's the other thing, is that I still struggle with people saying, oh, he's famous.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I don't like it because
I understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
My youngest daughter says it, and I'm like, I'm not famous. But I also like in the context of what she's saying, she's like, mm-hmm. oh, I want to be famous too, like you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I love that. But I'm not famous.
Yeah.
But not, I love that. Famous. What, the fact that she wants to be like me in some way, mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Roger that.
Yeah. It opens that door to where now, like, you can sit and have a conversation with me every day at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I didn't really realize the value of it, because at first it was like, all right, I want to get into this. I want to, you know, kind of use it as a way to get some passive income. But now the benefit out, because I haven't really made much on it lately, but to be able to talk to these people, and I've got friends that one of the, there was one of the streamers that—
What's that relationship called?
Parasocial.
Parasocial.
Mm-hmm. Going through a rough time. Yeah. And I immediately was like, all right, I'm donating half of my income from this stream to this person. All and right. I've done that several times, and it's not a big gift, but what that does is that says, hey, if you're in need, I'm going to help.
Yeah.
And we ended up raising, I think I donated, it was a few hundred dollars. There was a young man, a family member of one of the members of the stream that had cancer. and the family was having some issues and they had a GoFundMe. We donated hundreds of dollars to this GoFundMe. Nice. And that was the benefit, because it's like, this is something that I would want if I was struggling. And so being able to extend the olive branch and to not just say, hey guys, everybody sub to me, let's run my numbers up, and say, no, this is what we're doing. This is what it's going
for. What is it? New sub, I hug.
You sub, I hug.
You sub, I hug.
Sub hugs.
Yeah.
Had a handful of those last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Get on there and blow it up. I'll rate it.
Yeah.
I don't have a following though.
It's tough though. It's you
actually really, I could post it into something and get a bunch of people to jump on.
You yeah. really have with Twitch, you really have to work. And I've found that I have to stream on other platforms. So I'll do YouTube once a week. But then I started the streaming Instagram channel, which still, I mean, I'm still under 1,000 follows on that channel, but those videos get 1,000 views per video.
Everybody's watching.
Well, yeah.
Like all your subs are watching.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm to the point now where like consistent subscribers, they have their own theme music intros.
Do they?
Yeah.
What's mine?
Well,
I pay every month. Okay.
I didn't see you there.
I pay every month.
I'm getting a
charge every month.
I have one in mind for you. And, the next time you hop in, you'll hear it. There are some people that will sub in between streams on purpose. And they'll do that because, like, I don't want to hug.
I don't want to
shout out. And I'll give them a hug anyway.
Yeah, good.
Like, good. You get a hug.
Good.
Good.
That's as low as my voice goes.
Good.
Good. The Sudafed's helping, I think.
Yeah.
It's like drying up.
You're cheering up.
Well, because I'm having fun talking with my friend.
There you go.
Where do we go from here? No, man, what were we talking about before the live streams? Oh, just social, like the social.
Just the.
Being more, that call to be more.
Be more present or.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, be more present, really what it is.
Well, it's.
Because it's a double-edged thing, because it's the easy button. If I want to veg out right away, boom. If I want to mind melt at night, boom. And it's my mind doesn't rest. It's not preparing myself for the day.
Yeah.
It's the easy button, but it goes back to like how I interact with it. And then on it, like if I'm being intentional about, okay, yeah, I'm going to jump on to do a quick video. Hey, I just thought about this and wanted to share it with you guys. I think I'm going to start doing stuff like that more.
Yeah.
Just to show people, I'm not just doing it to show off.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
You kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and it's like, you know, people want to know what we're up to. They want to know what we're working on, what we're doing, where we are. And so I started.
Because sadly, people just don't know about, they just don't know about Patreon.
Yeah.
And join us on Patreon. The way that I interact on Patreon, I think the gap between how I interact on just public social media stuff needs to be closer. And this helps. Obviously our podcast absolutely helps, but I'm just saying like on those, you know, UGC, like just phone stuff, just kind of stream of consciousness. Yeah. Cause that'll help kind of close the gap.
I'm telling you, when I started really posting on X, that was kind of formerly Twitter.
So you tweeting all the time?
I do be tweeting. But I tweet good morning every morning. And I might say, you know, I might add a message on that. I might repost something.
Is it still called tweeting?
I still call it tweeting.
Oh.
It's hard to break away from that.
Yeah.
But I'll tweet good morning. And some days I'll say like, good morning, Christ is King. Mm. And the amount of people that will respond, you know, praise the Lord or Christ is King. Mm. Like there's a network there and it's really cool. Sometimes I had a conversation where I had a back and forth the other day about, I did Man vs. Morning. It was a Pepperbox exclusive podcast with some friends of mine. And I mentioned the theory of dinosaurs not existing to the scale that we depict them. And someone's like, you don't believe in dinosaurs. You're an idiot. And I'm like, well, I never said that. And then he put a timestamp in there where I said that. But then 20 seconds before that, I said, this is all theoretical. So I put a time. So it's easy to get into those negative, you know, kind of ruts where I can't change that guy's opinion.
No.
He thinks that I think dinosaurs are made up.
Yeah.
And so it's a small clip from an hour-long podcast that some people have chosen to dwell on. And even the comments, like there's a lot of negative comments. And My wife told me day one, like, don't respond to negative. Sometimes I'll have a good joke or a good comeback. I'll throw it in there if it's like, if it's palatable. But I try to stay away from that. I don't read a lot of comments unless it's on someone else's channel. So like on Jocko, I started reading some of the comments on his, some of that stuff. And, you know, he's a bigger name than what I am. Some of the people that comment on that are like, I think they're actual like space cadets. Like these people comment the most unhinged things in the comments.
What's going on over there?
And so I was like, you know what? My wife was right. I'm not going to respond to any of these. And so sometimes it's easy to step away. Sometimes it's like, nah, this is too funny of a punchline. I'm going to send it. And then I'll send it. And then I have to realize that having the following that I have, the people who follow me, they end up like dogpiling people.
Yeah.
And when that happens, I'm like, okay, all right, guys, let's tone it down a bit. Like,
what I've noticed is Facebook is the worst.
Facebook is the worst.
For negative comments.
Yeah.
It's just like wild to me.
So KingPix Media is on Facebook as Kingdom Pictures and Media. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that was the first thing that I started. But I'll post something and I don't even, like, I'll post it and then I'll log out and go back into my personal account and I don't even care what's going on with it. And I'll come back and it's like the most unhinged argument. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the past 6 months.
Yeah.
It just like, I forget what it was, but something to do with training.
Yeah.
And
wrong.
Yeah. 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 And there was a couple people just, and then the followers, like you're saying, dogpiling on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, but then this one guy in particular just kept going and kept going and kept going. And Devin jumped in too.
Oh,
and
my
was
gosh.
Going back and forth with him. I was like, man.
Just let it go.
You
never.
And then Devin was like, "Hey, can I offer him a slot to a course?" And I was like, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
Like at no cost to him.
Oh, geez.
And
well,
we left him on red, dude.
Of course.
Like he went direct with him, and
I started going.
That's what I like doing with some people. Like
bring him out.
Like, hey, man, you want? Like, I'd like to offer you a slot to this course. I think you'll better understand what it is that we're doing in this 20-second clip.
Yeah.
You know, that you're not seeing all of the context.
I mean, it's a 3-day course. So
yeah.
But one of the things that I started doing was I would go to like training clips, no matter what it is. If it's somebody shooting, you know, static at 6 yards, I would just respond and just say, wrong. And I started doing that. And the amount, so like obviously in the gun community, there's not a whole lot of women. I ended up commenting that on a woman's video. And the amount of women that just like, oh, another man trying to mansplain, like it got way worse. I could go to a Tim Kennedy video and comment wrong. And like, I'm going to get LOL as a response, you know, from his following. But the second I commented on this young lady's video, and she wasn't even really doing anything wrong. I just commented wrong just to troll. Dude, I like.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
I think that's super.
It's wrong.
Yeah,
it's wrong. There's no honor in trolling.
No,
but
so don't do
that's
it.
That's hey, I'm working
on. So don't do it.
New year, new me. That's one of the things that I'm working on. Like if someone, because if someone's posting like working a doorway, and they go through and they're not digging corners or I will comment wrong. Like, and if you do that to the wrong person, you get a dog pile. And I was not anticipating it. And it serves me.
That was
right.
A Jumpmaster reference.
It serves me right. It serves me right, you know, for doing
you said
that.
I really doorway.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wrong.
You over here reliving some stuff. Wrong.
Wrong. Wrong.
So don't do that. Don't comment wrong for no reason. If it's wrong and you comment wrong, good.
But
if it's not wrong and you comment wrong, shame on you. Shame on KingPix Media.
Yes. Well, what else?
Starship still has on sunglasses.
He does the whole time. Is it just the vibe in here? It's a lot brighter. It's a lot brighter in here.
Are those Rokas?
What you think?
I need a pair. Those are nice.
Yep.
Those are
shout out Lucy.
Those look like convertible glasses is what they look like.
Those are fashion.
Yeah, those are high fashion.
I've been wearing the No, man, stop talking.
I'm just a brother with a rocket launcher.
Did he get it? Okay.
Separate. It's a different reference.
I love lamb.
Oh, yeah.
No. No. Are those the Oslos? Oh, the Hunters? Yeah, so that's the same. Yeah, so my prescription glasses are Hunter 2.0.
Are they really?
Yeah, but they sent me, Lucy sent me the clip-ons. So now, because after a while, like I wear contacts, mm-hmm. and, you know, especially with being outside and all the things, like after a 10-hour day, I'm like, as soon as the class is finishing, I'm like, oh God,
yeah.
I take them out and then it's still bright out. Mm-hmm. So I'll put my prescription glasses on them. And in the past, I'd be like, I can't see
anything. Yeah.
But they have these clip-on shades, and they mm-hmm. can get like the different polarized, like Glacier mm-hmm. or just black or whatever.
Yeah.
But they clip on and they fit. They're made for each type of glasses. Mm-hmm. So then you can have, you know, sunglasses.
Yeah.
Without, they don't look, it's not like
the Wayne flip up,
which I'm not against.
Dude. Yeah.
But this
bringing them back.
My only issue with these is they don't have a really easy way of like storing them. Like mm-hmm. once you go from outside to inside.
Yeah.
So like now I'm in the store or something and I'm like,
got to take them off and make sure you don't scratch them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I put them in my pocket and then I don't sit on them.
I'm going to have to go on.
But check them out at Roka.com and use our code, the black and blue code, BLU15. Save 15% off your order. But I think that's a good spot to wrap her up. There's still a lot of things I want to talk about, but we're going about to sit down and do the bonus episode.
Bonus episode. My kids. Oh my gosh, man. They don't watch these episodes, so they don't catch it.
Hey. Well, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Glad to have Chris back in the chair. He's my co-host, just because I know he messed that whole thing up.
New studio goofing.
Yeah. New studio goofing.
That's what we're doing.
New boot goofing. And we're about to do the bonus episode. It'll come out next week. That can only be seen. Well, it can be seen on Spotify now. Mm-hmm. If you have obviously the Patreon black and blue tier or the protector tier unlocks all of the bonus episodes. But with the integration on Spotify, you can listen and watch now all in the benefit of the Spotify, you know, platform, which is cool. I end up watching a lot of our bonus episodes now just through Spotify. Because I use Spotify for everything now. Mm-hmm. So. Super, super cool integration. Thank you, Starship, for making that happen. And make sure to check us out on all the platforms and join us on Patreon so you guys can have access to all those episodes, plus all the community chats and all the new things, new merch that we're going to come out with specific to the Black and Blue podcast. And just leave us some comments on what you think we should do to the studio, too. You like it, not like it. If you don't like it,
get out of here.
No, just leave us some comments on it.
And please subscribe.
Like I said, it's a whip, man. Work in progress. But I like it. I like the vibe. But I don't know. We'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
See you.